Well, thank you so much. I would encourage you we're going to have a lot of scriptures on the slides today, but we're going to read one scripture together. But I want to say that, you know, a common thing that I hear, especially as we enter into a week of prayer and fasting, as we've just gotten over our annual week of prayer and fasting, but I hear this from people a lot, and I also search my own heart, is what is God's plan for my life? What is His will for my family, for the ministry, for my community? And often when that question comes up in our hearts, really what I hear from others and what I hear from myself is an underlying search for purpose and value. You know, people want to make a difference. They want to do something, that's meaningful. However, God's direction for us from His Word is often around the mundane. It's around the routine, the things that we often take for granted or don't assign eternal value to. Today, we're going to take a look at God's Word and try to find meaning and purpose in these things that God calls work. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray for Your Word to come forth, Lord, and that You would open up our hearts and our eyes to receive from You today. Lord, I pray that You would be our teacher here. Lord, I pray that Your Word would go forth in power and that it would accomplish everything You sent it for. And Lord, that our eyes would be opened and that we would see Jesus and that we would surrender, Lord, our illusions in our life and that we would come to the truth. And Lord, Your truth would have lasting change, that we would be brought into Your kingdom and that we would be useful for You as workers, Lord, for Your plans and purposes, for Your creation. In Jesus' name, amen. The best place to start when somebody asks, what is God's will for my life? What is the purpose that He's created me for? Is to go to His Word. God gave us His Word so that we would know what to do. You see, God provides first and foremost clear commands in His words, and He calls us to these commands. So I put together a little summary of commands so that we can see the general purposes for which God has called us. Let's open up and look at commands regarding the Lord. First, He calls us to love God wholeheartedly in worship, to worship and serve God alone, for He alone is God. He calls us to worship with song and instrument, as we just did with praise and worship. But there are also commands regarding God about prayer and communication, praying without ceasing, being not anxious, but praying for everything, and calling out to God, and that He promises He will answer you. We also have commands regarding others and how we deal with others. We're called to love our neighbor as ourself. We're called to serve wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. We're called to serve others in love. We're called to forgive and live peaceably with others, forgiving them and not being bitter or angry or slanderous to another. We have commands in our personal life to be holy as God is holy, to grow in that grace and knowledge of Christ, to renew our minds with God's Word, to be sanctified, and to avoid immorality. But we're also called to work and stewardship. He calls us to work hard as unto the Lord, to be faithful in everything, to be generous with what He has given us, for every good thing that we have is from Him. We have commands regarding our church life. For corporate worship and communion, we're commanded to meet regularly for fellowship. We're encouraged to build others up, to gather, to hear God's Word, and to share communion. We're also called to make disciples of every nation, to teach others to obey Christ, and to sharpen and encourage one another. We have commands concerning our daily living. Around ethical behavior, we're told to not repay evil for evil, but to overcome evil with good. We're to let our light shine before others that they might see and glorify our Father in heaven. We have commands concerning our familial relationships, to honor our mother and father, for husbands and wives to love and honor one another. And as you are a parent, to not provoke your children, but to instruct them in the Lord. These are common commands that we can see. And so what I want to do is encourage you as a new believer, or who is somebody who has maybe walked with the Lord for decades, to study God's word and see what he's calling you to. The word is full of what God is calling and asking you to do. But this morning I want to distill things down a little bit deeper. I want to provide a framework for you to consider for faithfully walking out your calling in communion with the Lord. Last fall we discussed as a leaders meeting, and we had several of the leaders of the church, we come together and we were looking at the Westminster Catechism, and it states this: the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Think about that. That's a simple phrase that I think about regularly in my life. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And it really means your primary purpose in life is to glorify God in every thought, every word, and action, and to find joy and fulfillment in your relationship with him. It's a very simple thing to then analyze, what am I doing? What am I saying? What am I thinking about? Is it glorifying God? And am I finding joy, purpose, fulfillment, identity in my relationship with Christ? It's a very simple framework to think about. But this morning, I'd like to go a little bit deeper further and look at foundational callings for all believers from the Word of God. While we've seen these commands and callings that the Lord has for us, I want to group these into three overarching callings or commands that I believe that we can see from the Word of God. So let's look at these foundational callings in a believer's life. The first one most of us are familiar with. It's called the Great Commandment. The Lord Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments for us in two simple phrases: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is the Great Commandments, and Jesus distilled it down so that we, in our finite mind, in our simplicity, could understand what he's saying. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Then we have the Great Commission to go into all the nations and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything that Jesus said, to obey him, and then to know that Jesus is with you in all things. But the third one is called the cultural mandate. It's where God creates us in his image, and we're going to look at that in a minute, and asks us to be fruitful and multiply and steward the earth. These are three great mandates or commands that the Lord has a framework for us to think about our lives. And we're very familiar with the first two, but I think as Christians, we don't fully appreciate or understand the third one, the cultural mandate. So that's where we're going to study this morning. Let's turn to Genesis 1, the first book of the Bible, the first chapter of the Bible, and begin in verse 26. So this is the cultural mandate as laid out from the Lord in Genesis 1, right from the beginning. This is what he had to say. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Again, you see the triunity of God there. "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heaven, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. It starts the cultural mandate with this divine covenantal blessing. We were made in the image of God, male and female. Mankind is very unique and different from all other creation because we were made in the image of God. We were not made to be God. We were made in his image, to bear his image, to show the world, all of creation, and all of the universe what God is like. And so we're to reflect and bear that image. Again, we are not God. We will not become gods. We worship God because we are made in his image, and uniquely being made in his image, we're able to have relationship and communion with him. It's so clear we are called to be in relationship with someone. That is so much more important than being called to something or somewhere. God is calling us into relationship with him. That relationship is foundational to all other aspects of your life. That relationship always takes precedent and supersedes and also undergirds everything else in your life. The calling into this relationship with God also gives us meaning and purpose and makes all of our secondary callings in the world purposeful. Let's look at some of the elements of the cultural mandate. We just talked about this divine covenantal blessing, which is a relationship with God and giving meaning to all of our other callings in life. But God also commands us to be fruitful and to multiply. Obviously, he is talking, as he is saying this to Adam and Eve, he's talking about physical reproduction. But he's also talking about spiritual reproduction in a person's life. We are called to both physical and spiritual reproduction. We're also called to social and cultural development and well-being. We are to work to make our culture the best it can be in honoring God and providing an atmosphere where every person can thrive and be in relationship with God and be in relationship with one another. We as Christians are to reflect God's image to all people in all areas of life, being fruitful and multiplying. God also calls us to subdue and cultivate the earth. This really is talking about a stewardship, a management, and a care for the earth that God has given us to look after. We are stewards. We don't own this. We are merely passing through and stewarding what God has created and bringing it back into how God originally designed it to be purposeful and useful. He also asks us to bring into cultivating and subduing the earth governance. That's establishing systems and structures that promote order and sustainability, and help people thrive. Also calls us to innovation. God is a creative God. He created the earth. He calls us to create technology and methods to promote human flourishing. How do we flourish as humans? We flourish by first being in relationship with God, being then in relationship with one another, and in relationship with his creation as he intended. He also calls us to community building, developing societies that reflect who God is so that people could see who God is and desire that relationship with God and live in a society that honors God. These major elements of God's blessing, being fruitful and multiplying, as well as ruling and subduing the earth, have been reestablished to the people of God down through history as the Lord blesses his people and reminds them of his plans. So what I'd like to do is take you through a brief history of God's reiterating this cultural mandate, this creation mandate, as some call it, down through history. Let's look at Noah's commission. In Genesis 9, verses 1 through 3, and this again is a summary of each one of these so you can get the feeling for what's going on. God blessed Noah and his sons and said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Into your hand every beast, bird, and fish are delivered. Every moving thing is food for you. I give you everything." If you go back into the garden, you see that God gave us the things that grow to eat. So I believe that Adam and Eve were vegetarians. And through Noah, they were vegetarians. And then after the flood, God says clearly here, "I give you every moving thing for food." So we have plants and animals for food. Now, you may have a conviction one way or the other. I'm just saying that's the freedom we have in Christ, and that's what the Word is telling us. Let's look at Abraham's covenant, Genesis 12, 2 through 3, and chapter 22, verse 17. In God reaffirming to Abraham the covenant, he said, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Multiply your offspring, and all nations will be blessed because you obeyed my voice. Your descendants will take possession." So again, we see this blessing of a relationship with God. We see this multiplication, and we see this dominion, this ruling, subduing that God has called us to, and that covenant is reaffirmed with Abraham. We see then in Moses, in Deuteronomy 1, 10 through 11 and 11, 24, that the Lord your God has multiplied you. You are today as numerous as the stars of the heaven, as he has promised you. The Lord has promised to be with you. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. Again, the same elements of the cultural mandate. This is great when things are going well for Israel. But what happens when the Israelites are sent into bondage, into Babylon for 70 years? God once again reaffirms this. Let's look at Jeremiah 29 together. Again, the Israelites are going into 70 years of captivity in Babylon when God sends this word through Jerusalem to the people. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, whom I have sent into exile to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Multiply there. Do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For its welfare, you will find your welfare." God calls you, no matter where you are, to exercise this mandate that he has commanded you to do, to first be in relationship with him, to be fruitful and multiply, and to rule well all of what God has given you in the areas that he's called you to do. Now let's look at this cultural mandate in the New Testament. First and foremost, we're image bearers of God. Colossians 3:10 says, "Put on your new self, which is being renewed in the image of our Creator." And James 3 says, "Who have been made in the likeness of God." We, again, bear God's image. And as such, every single person, no matter what their ability, their background, has inherent value because they're made in the image of God. If you can just grasp that point, it will radically change how you interface and you interact with your fellow human being. If you see them as image bearers of God, created in God's image, having inherent purpose and value. Now, God also calls us to take care of animals and other things. We're not talking about that today. I'm talking about the fact that we as image bearers of God have a special and unique place in this universe. And as such, every single person should be treated with dignity, respect, and honor. We're image bearers. Christ also gave us the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And what is Jesus' promise? Surely I will be with you. He calls us to fruitfulness in John 15:5, and this is your key to fruitfulness. If you remain in me, who is that? Christ. And I in you, you will bear much fruit. That is how we are fruitful in the kingdom of God, that we have surrendered our heart and lives to Christ alone. Christ through his Spirit is filling you. And as that such, you can go and bear fruit because you are attached to the vine. And what is that fruit? Love, joy, peace, sometimes patience or forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God also calls us to stewardship. Romans 8 says, creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed, to be liberated from the bondage of decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. That is our calling as believers. And creation is longing for us to do that because the creation has been subjected to the curse because of our sin. We also see individual and societal flourishing. 1 Corinthians 12 says, just as a body has many parts, but its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. But we were all baptized by one Spirit to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free. This flourishing really comes as we become united in Christ, that we see people and we do the work that God has called us, not trying to be something that we're not. If we're an eye, we're not trying to be a hand. If we're a foot, we're not trying to be a heart or a brain. We're doing the function that God has called us to. But we don't see our world very often in this way, and we don't experience this in an ongoing way if we experience it at all. And why is that? What happened? This is what happened. Mankind rebelled, and so did we. Our first, foremost, Adam and Eve rebelled against God, and we have followed in their footsteps. Timothy Keller said it well. He said, the original temptation in the Garden of Eden was to resent the limits God had put on us, saying, you shall not eat of this tree. And to seek to be as God by taking power over our own destiny. We gave into this temptation, and now it's part of our nature. Rather than accept our finitude and dependence on God, we desperately seek ways to assure ourselves that we still have power over our own lives. But this is an illusion. Think about this rebellion that Adam and Eve had and how it is carried on to every one of us. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. All of us have this internal rebellion that seeks to rebel against God, to resent the limits that he's put on us, and to desire to be like God. And that is the nature that we need to kill and set aside at the cross and receive Christ's work within our hearts that we might be free to do all that God has called us to. Let's look at how to recapture the mandate. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. We need to start by acknowledging that he is God and we are not. That seems so simple. And we can say, of course we're not God. But how often do we act like we are? Do we acknowledge that God alone is God? He is the sovereign one. He is the one without limits, and we are not. We need to acknowledge our sin and rebellion, turn to our Creator for restoration and empowering or filling of His Holy Spirit in our lives, for that alone will enable us to carry out the mandate that God had called us to from the beginning. So from a place of restoration, with our identity firmly grounded in Christ alone and our dependence upon God's Spirit, we need to work. We need to work to fulfill the mandate through spiritual worship and cultural engagement. We need to serve as God's stewards in every sphere of life that the Lord places you, to use your gifts and talents to bring His kingdom on earth while expectantly waiting His return. The cultural mandate remains active today, but it is only made possible through Christ's redemptive work in us. Christians fulfill this mandate by combining our spiritual life of worship with this cultural engagement. Recognizing the complementary nature of worshiping the Lord and engaging your culture, exercising the work that He has given you to. These are not to be separated. Our worship of the Lord is our work. Our work is our worship of the Lord. We don't separate those two. We don't live a spiritual life and a secular life. We live a life under God. And that's what God has called us to, not to separate these things, to be conscious every day, always, that everything I do is for God's glory. And I do it through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in me. Why? So that my flesh doesn't say, look at the great things I have done. Instead, look at the great things our God has done. And every good and perfect thing in your life is a result of God's intervention, not of your hard work. It is a result of God's blessing in your life. Whatever advantages you have, whatever gifts and talents He's given you, that is a result of God's hand of blessing. Whatever limitations you feel you have, God has given you the power by His Holy Spirit to fulfill His plans and purposes in your life. And we all have limitations. Every single one of us. But through various professions and activities, believers need to continue to reflect God's image to a dying world and contribute to human flourishing while awaiting Christ's return. I want to explore some of these with you, these different callings that we have together. I put together a series of, I think, seven. Let's go to the first one around our service callings. What I want you to do as I go through these is I want you to see if you identify with any of these. Now, of course, there's going to be holes. I could only group them into seven groups. I couldn't go over 700 this morning. But I tried to group things so that you could see your gift and callings and how God uses that for His plans and purposes. Let's look at those who have a service calling, often have a gift of helps in their life. Community support roles. These are service-oriented callings, are vital to building stronger communities. They provide essential support and care so that others can thrive and fulfill their callings. Think essential workers during COVID. Who were the people that we depended on to continue to live and to function? If you have one of those jobs, you're probably in a service calling. It could be medical. It could be delivery. It could be retail sales. It could be any number of things. It's a service calling. We also have nonprofit leadership and nonprofit organizations Nonprofits provide essential services and ministries to those in need in our community, making a significant impact on individuals, families, and our community. If you're involved in a nonprofit, you're in a service calling. You may be in multiple of these callings. I just want to make that clear. You may be in supply chain, logistics, trucking. We function in our jobs and lives because these people coordinate, ship, and transport goods and people around the globe. We need to honor this calling because it helps every one of us. Every one of us has benefited from those who have a service calling. All right, I'm going to do it. I decided I'm going to do it. If you feel you have a service calling, I'd like you to raise your hand this morning. And I want you to look around the room because these are your fellow ministers in the Lord. You have a service calling, and these are the people who are in ministry with you as a service calling. Let's look at the second one, business and commerce callings. Business management is crucial for organizing resources and organizations to achieve these business goals, to drive local economies and meaningful employment for people. We have finance. Finance professionals are vital for helping people purchase homes, transportation, managing investments, savings, helping us with our financial transactions, budgets, and support for business growth. We have people who are in advertising and marketing. Marketing is essential for individuals to make informed decisions about products and services, as well as connecting businesses with customers. If you didn't know it's out there, you don't probably know you need it. Well, you may not need it, you may just want it, and they are going to help you with that. But we also have skilled trades. These are foundational, the skilled trades in our midst. They're foundational to all industries and human flourishing. They provide technical expertise required for designing, building, repairing, maintaining, as well as manufacturing to take place. If you find yourself in business and commerce calling, I'd ask that you raise your hand. And again, look around the room and see who are your fellow ministers in this calling of business and commerce. Let's go to the next one. Medical, teaching, technology calling. Healthcare providers are essential in maintaining and improving public health and personal health through diagnosis, treatment, and patient care. They're co-laboring with the Lord in health maintenance and health restoration. Educators, teachers, administrators in schools, those who help. Educators play a vital role in shaping the minds of future generations, promoting knowledge, critical thinking, lifelong learning, teaching values and truths to open minds and hearts. Technology experts. Technology workers drive innovation by developing new tools, systems, and solutions that enhance efficiency and productivity across various industries, making lives better for mankind. If you're in this medical, teaching, or technical, raise your hand. And again, look around and see those who are in ministry with you in this arena. If you're a student, you may be studying to do these areas. You can raise your hand if you're preparing yourself in these areas. Looking over the student section here. Let's look at the next one. Domestic and familial callings. Nurturing families provide love and grace, forgiveness and protection. These are all cultivated in a home atmosphere. Providing this love, emotional support, care, and guidance to family members for them to thrive in relationship with the Lord, with one another, and with their community. Some of us are called to elder care. This focus on supporting senior family members senior members of our society, ensuring that they have community, that they receive care, respect, and companionship that they need as both physical and other limitations arise. We have a special group here, those who are called to household management. Household management includes organizing and maintaining the home environment, contributing to the family stability and harmony, as well as providing a refuge and place of hospitality for friends, strangers, and neighbors. If you find yourself in domestic and familial callings, I would ask that you would raise your hands. These are your fellow co-laborers in Christ, fulfilling the same calling in you. Encourage one another. That is a hard calling. Let's look at cultural and creative callings. We have artists who play a crucial role in expressing God's beauty and creativity through their work that brings depth, functionality, and pleasure to mankind and to God's heart. We have musicians who touch our emotions, contribute to our cultural narratives, and lead others in praise and worship of our Creator. We have writers and storytellers that resonate with audiences, preserve history, they teach truths and values, as well as lead people to the Lord and foster empathy for others. If you are in this special cultural and creative calling, I ask that you would raise your hand. These are the artists, these are the musicians, these are the writers and storytellers in our midst. Those are your co-laborers with you. Let's look at the next one. Agricultural, animal husbandry, and environmental callings. I lumped foresters and fish and wildlife first. Foresters provide sustainable materials to enable building, fuel sources for us, landscape supplies, and they help minimize damaging forest fires. Fish and wildlife workers balanced harvesting, recreation, and ecological needs to sustain our environment and the creatures that live in them. We have people who produce food, farmers and ranchers, who provide food production that is crucial for ensuring our supply of safe, nutritious food while managing resources responsibly. We have those who are dedicated to stewardship. Environmental stewardship workers help with sanitation and waste needs of society while protecting our natural resources and habitat to foster the health of God's earth. If you're involved in agriculture, animal husbandry, and environmental callings, I would ask that you raise your hand. We owe you a great debt because many of you provide our foods, you help sustain and steward the earth that we're in. Thank you for your... Let's look at the last one. Government and public service callings. Public service and administrations are vital for implementing government policies to maintain order, to provide an environment for mankind to thrive, and to deliver services efficiently to our community. Law enforcement, first responders. These law enforcement agencies play a crucial role in maintaining law and order and safety in our society. First responders are critical for our health, our safety, and our often rescue from our own situations that we find ourselves in. Maybe you're here and you're in the military, you have served in the military. The military protects our citizens from foreign and domestic threats and responds to disasters and protects our borders and enforces our laws. We owe a great debt to our military. We have utility and public service providers. These both public and private utility providers provide power and heat for our homes. They provide entertainment, internet, and communications, as well as water and sanitary services. If you find yourself in government or public service callings, I'd ask that you raise your hand. Thank you for the work that you do. You have several co-laborers here with you. I hope that you can see what I'm trying to do here is show you that every job that God has, and if your job wasn't called out, I'm sorry, I tried to do as broad a swath as I could. I want you to see that your job has purpose and meaning. And I want you to think about how is God use the job that he has given me to do to one, be in relationship with him, to be fruitful and multiply, and how to rule the sphere that God has given me well, that I might reflect his image and that he might receive glory. Let's talk about entering the work that God has ordained for us, because entering that work is ministry. Let's go to the next slide. Every calling, whether in traditional ministry or secular work, let me say that again, every calling, whether in traditional ministry or secular work, can be a holy calling when pursued with integrity and faithfulness to God's purposes. Martin Luther said this, that there is a priesthood of all believers and that there is a sanctity of all vocations. There is a priesthood of all believers and a sanctity of all vocations. So whatever you do, it says in Colossians 3, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord, so work as if you are working for the Lord, because you are. Now, Christ redeemed all things to himself on the cross, and therefore, from that redemptive work that Christ has done, we can fulfill our callings and purposes. It says in Colossians 1, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross, his cross. As stewards, not owners, stewards, we are called to live lives that reflect God's redeeming work. Christ bought redemption on the cross for us and for his creation. And as he bought that with his blood, we are called to enter into that redeeming work. And in so doing, we will glorify God in all that we do. Your calling needs to be God-centered and God-honoring. And my prayer this morning is that you would see that your calling as God-centered and God-honoring. Let's go to the next slide. Everything under God has its own importance. Although value is not ours to assign, but will come from the well done of the caller. Let me explain that. Everything that we do under the sun has value. When we're not under the Lord, it is, Solomon said, it is vanity. But under the Lord and in his redemptive work, all that has value. The value of that is not ours to place on it. Now, we as a society do. We place value on it. Oh, that's what you do, or wow, that's what you do. Right? We place this value on that work. But ours is not to place that value. Ours is to fulfill the plans and purposes that God has for us and the calling that he has for us. And when we don't look to society to place value on it, but we look to God, what are we waiting to hear? One thing and one thing alone. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest of your master. That is what we're living for, an audience of one. Let your purpose and your identity not be in the success that the world will attribute to you, but the success that God attributes to you as a worker, rightfully fulfilling everything that he has called you to do, He has empowered you to do, He has equipped you to do, and He will reveal to you. Live for the audience of one to hear, well done. That's all for eternity that will matter. You only need to hear that. Because this world will sometimes tell you, well done. And that is a dangerous place because we start to then appreciate and value and strive and look after those accolades from society and from others. Those are temporary at best. And when we can get that away from our identity and instead cling to the identity that is in Christ alone, and that we are working for Christ alone, for His glory, to not just serve God, but to serve His creation, to serve one another, to work for God and for one another. That is God's high calling on your life. That is the inherent value of all work. So we can conclude this. All work and activities can be done for God's glory. The distinction between secular and sacred work is eliminated. Every aspect of life becomes meaningful and purposeful. And that is the beauty. When you get your purpose and meaning from Christ, no matter what your hand is finding to do, you will lay your head on the pillow at night and hear, well done. And you can rest in that. Success is measured by our faithfulness to God's call. Why don't we have the worship team come on up? I want you to remember three things. What is our highest calling in life? To be in relationship with our Lord through Christ. That is our number one and highest calling in life. We also have a common calling, all of us. These are our shared biblical commands, which I went over a few of them at the beginning. Search the Word and see what our common calling is as fellow believers in Christ. These are biblical commands. And we're to call others into relationship with God, and then we're to call others into these common callings of fulfilling God's plans and purposes and obeying the Lord. And then lastly, we have specific callings, which are our individual vocations and our assignments. I want you to walk away today knowing that God loves you, He has created you for relationship, and He has a mandate for you to go and fulfill. And I want you to see the work that He's calling you to has inherent value in His eyes. Whether it does in man's eyes or not is irrelevant. What is critical is whether you are fulfilling God's plans and purposes, and that you as a body of Christ are going into our culture and engaging it and bringing the gospel to every area and aspect of life. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. And I ask that you would pray along with me in your heart as I offer this closing prayer over us. Lord, I ask that you would free us from our illusions. The illusion that we are limitless and that we can do anything we want. Free us from the illusion that our search for pleasure, power, fame, or fortune will bring lasting satisfaction. Free us from the illusion that we have power over our own destiny. Lord, free us from the illusion that we can be righteous or good or moral or pleasing to you apart from Christ. Lord, free us from the illusion that our work is meaningless, purposeless, or without value. Lord, free us from the illusion that work is a grind. Instead, help us to see it as a gift. Lord, free us from the illusion that any identity apart from you will be lasting and fulfilling. So, Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes, remove the blinders, that we would see Jesus, that our hearts and our minds would be free from the bondages of our illusions, that we would cease from our works and enter into your rest, being yoked with you who gives rest and calls us to labor with and for you. And Lord, as you've moved on our hearts and opened our eyes to the illusions that we've been living under, Lord, I ask that you would move in our hearts and bring about a repentance. Lord, repentance that we would turn from that illusion and turn to the truth of who you are and what you've called each of us to. That you would turn us from the illusion that we can do this thing apart from relationship with you. And Lord, that we would surrender our hearts and our lives to you here this morning. That we would cast off these illusions, Lord, and embrace Christ, and that we would be filled with your Holy Spirit. And I would ask, if your eyes have been open to the truth of God's word, and you want to or have surrendered your life to Christ this morning, turning from your sins and asking the Lord to impart righteousness to you from Christ into your life, that great exchange of your sinfulness for his righteousness. It costs you everything. If you have or want to surrender your heart completely to Christ and say, I'm tired of living in the illusion, I want to live in the truth, then I would ask that you raise your hand this morning and acknowledge that God is doing that work in your life. Lord, I just thank you for the several people that have raised their hands here this morning. And Lord, I just pray you would give courage to the others who say, yes, I too need to surrender my heart to the Lord. I need to walk fully with you. And Lord, I thank you for these new brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I thank you for calling them into relationship. Lord, that is so beautiful that you have called us into relationship with you. But you don't call us into anything you don't provide the means to accomplish. And Lord, that great chasm has been brought about and bridged through the cross of your Son. We thank you for life and life abundantly. And Lord, I pray for those eyes that were opened here to the illusions that they were under, that the Lord has moved on our hearts around his intended calling in your life that needs to be God-centered and God-honoring. If you want to embrace that calling and come into mission with the Lord, then I again ask that you would just raise your hand and say, Lord, I want to enter in to work with you. I want to surrender the illusions. And Lord, I want to fulfill the plans and purposes you have for me and my life and my family and my community by working for you. If that's you, I would just encourage you to raise your hand and just saying yes to the Lord. This is your plans and purposes, and I surrender to those plans and purposes here this morning. Lord, I thank you for the good work you've done. Lord, I thank you for sending your word. Lord, as you've moved upon our hearts this morning and spoken to us through your word, I ask that you would seal up the work that you have done, that the enemy would not be able to steal away your truths, that we would walk in the freedom each day in relationship with you, working for your purposes and not our own, and giving you all the glory for the great things you have done. Amen. I would encourage you to stand to your feet and worship our Lord together.